My heart really wanted to serve you and the rest of the Sangha food today, of all days, Thanksgiving, out of gratitude, and also because I thought that food had to be directly placed in the alms bowl of a monk in order for it to be consumed. So can you please give us a quick guide on the Vinaya rules regarding the offering food and other things, requisites to monks? Thank you for your explanation so we can better serve the Sangha. It's not that we has to be, say, food has to be given, offered, in order for us to be able to consume it, to eat it, so that when we have our alms bowls, then it can be placed in the alms bowls. If it, say, as today, because just with the incredible array, much more practical to for the monks to directly receive the food, and so long as it's offered and we receive it in our hands, then we can consume it. So that's the actual offering and receiving of it in some way, shape, or form, so that either directly into the hands, into an alms bowl, other ways. Those are the most common. So that it's the actual offering rather than the, say, the vessel itself that's important. And that it's that and so that, like, for offering of food, we wouldn't be able to, you know, even if you sort of say, well, there's, please, venerable sirs, there's lots of food in the kitchen, help yourself. It doesn't quite work that way. It really does have to be actually formally offered. And that, it makes the relationship very direct in terms of a monastic. We can't really be independent. So then that sets up circumstances where, because another rule is that we can't store food, so that as monks, then we can't store, say, like, say at a Bhayagiri, yeah, there's a food shed, but monks can't go in there and touch it. It's sort of the it isn't a belonging of the monks. It's that lay people can use it to offer it. It's kept there by the lay community, so that say, like, Ajahn Yaniko, after the Vasa, the traditional rains retreat after our Katina, it went for 2 weeks, just wandering out. Started over at Fort Bragg, and started walking to just experiment. And also, there was a monk who had just finished his fifth rain, so it was an opportunity to introduce that monk to kind of wandering as a monk. And so you got two monks, and first day, of course, you leave with a full stomach because the layperson was keen that they had food. And then the second day, sort of like, who knows? If one, you see, figure out place to spend the night and try to find some sort of shelter. They had tents that tents, I mean, they're kind of fly. They made up kind of shelters. The you know, just enough to keep the rain off. Kind of a poncho type thing that could be pulled out. And then, because they actually did the morning that they left, was one of the lay people took them for the meal offering in a restaurant in Fort Bragg, and kind of fed them. And they got out of the restaurant to start walking up the highway, and that's when it started raining. And they had to adjust their plan. They were going to walk along the coast for some time, and had to give up because the it was rain and wind whipping off the ocean. They had to go inland because it was just so miserable. Absolutely everything was soaked. And then you have to figure out, well, where is anybody living so that in the morning then you can go for alms round and see if anybody will make food offerings. And you don't know what's going to happen. He made it. Here he is, living evidence that it works.
Ate every day.
They ate every day. Yeah, it was last year Jnaniko and Titapo went from Abhayagiri up to the Hermitage. It's almost 2 months. And there was only one day that they didn't get any food offerings. And that was because of miscalculation of the distance. So that by the time they got to a little town, it was already noon. So it was, all you could do was keep walking till the next day. Okay.